Good morning. I'm B.J. Stagner, pastor of Sarum Chapel Independent Baptist Church. I hope and pray that today's sermon is a wonderful blessing to your heart and your soul. I want to encourage you to stay tuned at the conclusion of today's message for some vital information for you personally and those that are around you. For without further ado, here's today's sermon.
This evening, just to kind of pick up and reiterate what we talked about last Wednesday, as you know, both this evening and this morning was part two of our message, our messages that we've had. And I didn't finish this morning. I still have, I think, 2 points left from this morning's message. And seeing how I think we'll be done tonight with tonight's sermon. And more than likely next Wednesday night, I will finish the message from this morning, making it part three of that message of Life on Mission Revisited. You can read from the screen. The Bible tells us here, it says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this evening. I do pray now that you please give us guidance, grace, mercy, forgive us where we have failed you. And Lord, you know our every need. You know where we are. You know those in our life and the great needs that they have. And so I pray now, Lord, that you please would move upon people's life, touch their hearts, their souls, their mind, make a difference, Lord, in their day. And I pray now as we've come together as a body of believers this evening that you'd allow us to feed upon thy word, Lord, that we would follow along intently, that we would apply the message to our hearts, Lord, that it would change us and draw us closer to you. Lord, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So we're going to be in John chapter 14 this evening. We're talking about this word assurance is what we talked about, was the message on assurance. And not so much of assurance of almost the word confidence. I know I preached a few weeks back on confidence, but assurance in our life and in where we're going, what we're doing, who we are, and for that matter, whose we are. I believe that Bible believers, that Christians, should live their life with a level of assurance, a level of confidence in what's going on in the world today. I don't believe that we should have to second guess things. Now, that doesn't mean we know everything. We don't know everything. God knows everything. We don't know everything. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen, for that matter, for the next second of our life as it passes by. We don't know those things. But things that what we do know this evening is we have the assurance of eternal salvation. We have the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to take us back with him. We have the assurance that not only do we see, as we talked about, that rescue, but we have that residence as well in heaven. There's an assurance there. And with that assurance, you should be able to carry about and carry yourself through this world without an aura, if you will, of uncertainty, of questions, of instability. You know, the Bible talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible tells us that confidence in an unfaithful man is like a foot out of joint and a broken tooth. Now, what are the two things, what are the similitudes between a foot that's out of joint and a tooth that is broken? They hurt. Amen? A person, a Bible believer, a Christian who is unfaithful will hurt the body of Christ. They will hurt the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will hurt the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's much like what we said this morning. You can do all of these works out here in the world today. You can pass a billion leaflets out. You can preach on the street. You can pay £1 billion into missions. You can do all of those things. And if you don't love the brethren, if you don't love one another, you're not a disciple of Christ, and the world doesn't know, and the world knows that. All these things are they're external things that have to happen but must be a byproduct of true love one for another. The same principle that we have with the assurance of salvation. If you have the assurance of salvation, you should be committed and dedicated to what represents that salvation, and that's the local New Testament church that Jesus Christ died for. Amen? And if you're unfaithful to that, the Bible says that you are like a foot out of joint and a broken tooth. That means you are hurting, you are causing pain to the body of Christ. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. The Bible's clear about that. I'm saying all that to make this point, guys. You should have assurance in your life that no matter what happens, that you can continue steadfastly with confidence, that you can continue steadfastly with faithfulness to diligence, faithfulness to his word, faithfulness to his prayer, faithfulness to his house. Amen. I refuse to let up on that point. The reason we have dead faith in around the world today is because people forsook the house of God, because the men of God forsook the pulpit of God, amen. And that's why we got a dead faith that's going throughout our world today, especially in the Western world. Bunch of plastic Christians living a synthetic life on false hopes and false dreams made up by the ideology of their own mind. They've created a Jesus Christ in their heart and their mind that thinks that he's just going to pat them on the head when they just live a life like they want to and not according to his word. And listen, that's called idolatry, amen. Now, I'm not trying to rant, I promise. I'm not angry, by the way. I'm happy. I am. I'm going to tell you that. But I'm going to tell you something. I am not going to let up on the fact that we as believers need to be faithful to his house. It's a crying shame that people who accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as a free gift of sin, they cannot make it to the house of God. Amen? I'm getting angry, so I need to stop. So anyway, we want to talk about carrying yourself with assurance tonight. All right? And again, assurance and arrogance or assurance and cockiness, they're not the same thing. Assurance, amen. Things are going to happen. Problems are going to happen. Issues are going to happen. You're going to have bad days. My soul preached this, the first part of this message last week, and the next day went to pot, didn't it, Denise? And I went, well, that was good timing for that sermon, now wasn't it? And it was a rough day. Things started going wrong, but we took a step back. God blessed that thing, and he moved on in there, and we saw the victory, amen. Christians should be able to go through life with the assurance God's got their back, amen. So let's look at John chapter 14 with me tonight. John in chapter 14, right where we were last week. Let's read together these scriptures, if you will. You should always follow along in your Bibles. John 14, look at verse 4. The Bible says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye have known me, ye have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So Jesus here, of course, is speaking to his disciples. We understand that. And he refers to them as knowing the way of salvation, the way of where Christ is going, the way of righteousness, and all of this and that. I mean, really, truly, as I mentioned last week, one can never imagine the beauty of the free gift of salvation. But with any gift, a gift must be received. Amen? So when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about going somewhere, when the Lord Jesus Christ is departing here, and he's speaking in chapter 14, he's given his disciples an assurance. Number one, last week we talked about the assurance of that rescue, amen? There's a rescue, and we're excited about that. And you see that in verse 1 where it says, let not your heart be troubled, amen? You believe in God, believe also in me. So not only do we see the rescue, Jesus Christ says, you know what? He says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's a personal place of residence, amen. So there's a rescue, and then there's a residence. And then we ended last week with the idea of his return. And we see that in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and there where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. So the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a promise. A promise, a promise, a promise. That not only do we have a rescue, eternal salvation, not only do we have a residence, a place that he's building for us, but he's going to come back and get us. Amen? He's going to come back and pick us up and take us back with him. That's a promise. And you have the assurance tonight, and you should carry your life around with that assurance. Now, just in a closing thought on what we talked about last week before we get into the handful of points, and I'm going to call these popcorn points tonight because I want to hit them and hit them and hit them. We'll be done. But, you know, the Bible talks about in the last days, that there's going to be scoffers. There's going to be those that make fun of, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to say, they're just going to mock out, if you will. They're going to mock out, you know, the they're going to be scornful. They're going to mock out Jesus Christ coming back and taking his bride away. And we hear it all the time. Matter of fact, we even hear from people who name the name of Christ. This is, oh, you're one of those rapture people, are you? You're one of those rapture people. And they laugh about it. They mock it out and they make fun of it. I got news for you. They're not going to be laughing one day, amen, when all they hear is a big thunderclap and all those people that were scorning and scoffing out are gone, amen? But the Bible speaks about those who will scoff the return of the Lord. And if you go back and you think in your mind, in the days of Noah, and Noah preached for 120 years. So here's the picture that I want you to think in yourself as we talk about the return of the Lord, as we kind of close on this thought of the return of the Lord. You know, you go back, Noah preached, he's a righteous man. He preached for 120 years, that rain's coming. They didn't know what rain was. It never rained a day on the earth at that time. He's building a big box, which in reality, guys, I'm not going to get into it too much. It was shaped like a coffin, all right? There's no helm, there's no rudder. They didn't know what a boat was, didn't need a boat more than likely. He was building this massive thing that looked like a huge coffin, and that's what he's building, right? And he was sitting over there, and he's preaching the word of God. He's preaching rain's coming, destruction's coming, get right. If you don't get in, you're going to get out, and all these things. And they mocked him out, and they made fun of him. And I can picture in my mind a little boy, scared to his wits, comes to his daddy and says, "Daddy, listen to me. I met this old man named Noah. He's over there hammering nails. He's over there putting this pitch on this wood, on this gopher wood. He's making this big old huge rectangle up there. And he said there's a rain coming, and I don't know what rain is. He said there's a flood coming and destruction coming to this earth. And he says we need to get on that thing over there, that ark, if we want to be saved." And that daddy just laughs and mocks him out and scoffs at him. He says, "Listen, when I was your age, he told me the same thing. He said there was a big rain coming. We don't know what that is. We never seen that before. He told me that, and I came home, and I was scared, and I came to your granddaddy. And I told your granddaddy the very same thing that you just told me. And you know what your granddaddy said? Your granddaddy just laughed and mocked him. Hey, Scott, that Noah, he told me the same thing as well. And nothing's happened yet. As soon as that Methuselah died, guess what? The floodwaters came. That's what his name means. And outside of eight people, the whole earth perished. Amen. Now, what I'm trying to say, guys, is that people are going to mock out in this world. The Bible tells us in the latter days, scoffers will come, that they will scoff the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that you need to be settled and assured in your belief that it doesn't matter who, what they say, what mocking they say, what jokes they say. It doesn't matter what they say about you personally. Truth of the matter is, just like the floods came, amen, and just like the brimstone came down on Sodom and Gomorrah, and just like the prophecy said that Jesus Christ is coming the first time, he's coming the next time to take his bride away, and you need to carry yourself in this life with the assurance that Jesus Christ is coming back. There is the return, man. I think that's important. You know why it's important, guys? It's important that you can carry yourself in that manner, because there's a whole world out there today that needs to see some people with stability. I'm trying not to chase rabbits tonight. I'm surely not going to rant any more than I already have. Because I look at our world today, I look at our marriages today, I look at our parents today, I look at our businesses today. Good night, man. I look at our finances today, our political, whatever you want to call it today. All of it is filled with nothing but insecurity. People walk around, they don't know what they're going to do. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do exactly what I did yesterday. I'm going to do today. And whatever's on my diary over there in that book is what I'm going to do tomorrow. Amen. If the Lord don't come back. If the Lord comes back, I ain't worried about it, because he's going to tell me and take care of me what to do. That's fine with me. I have the assurance that Christ is coming back. If I live to be 80 years old, hallelujah. If I don't live to be 80 years old, hallelujah. One way or another, I'm going to see my Lord and Savior soon. Amen. I have that assurance. And not you or anybody in this world is ever going to shake me from that by his grace, amen. I'm saying that this evening make this point. The world needs to see some Christians with some backbone, amen. Not arrogance, not hatred, not anger, but backbone and assurance that they believe what the Bible says. And they live it, amen. And they don't question it. You're looking at people to get themselves in a mess in this world today. They get themselves in a mess because of the decisions they make, and they continue to make the same decisions over and over and over, expecting a different outcome. Einstein said that's the evidence of insanity, amen. So you need to have assurance tonight that Jesus Christ is coming back. Why? Because he said so, amen. I'm not trying to be funny tonight, but if Jesus Christ said he was going to come back on a pink unicorn, I'd believe it tonight. If he said he's going to come back on a flying saucer, I'd believe it. I'm just telling you right now, guys, that's the assurance this evening that the believer must have. You believe you're saved tonight? You're going to heaven? Well, yeah, I guess you are. All I heard was a whimper. You going to heaven? How do you know that? Well, the Bible told you that. Well, the Bible tells you he's coming back too, amen? So the same assurance you have that you're saved and born again going to heaven needs to be the same assurance you have Jesus Christ coming back. Praise God, amen? So, look in verse 12 with me tonight. There needs not only for looking at the assurance in the return, but there needs to be a realization, guys, a realization in our life. And guys, you cannot imagine a greater work that the Lord has given us in this world to do than the work of the cross of Christ. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," watch this, "the works that I do shall he do also," watch this, "and greater works than these shall he do." Why? Because I go unto my Father. Jesus Christ's ministry was 3.5 years on this earth, okay? And he did great and wonderful things. Matter of fact, John said that the world, the earth, couldn't even, if they wrote everything down in a book, the world wouldn't even be able to contain all the great things that he did. And yet Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the creator of all things, says with his own mouth, greater works that those that believe on him is going to do than he did. How in the world can you say there's a greater work that we're going to do than Jesus Christ did? I can't even imagine that, but I got to believe his words tonight. How greater is the work that we have to perform, or what greater of a work is there tonight than to lead someone into the way of eternal salvation? I mean, the way, the truth, and the life. What greater work is there on this earth tonight than to bring somebody to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you agree tonight with me that we have a tendency in our life, I'm going to tread softly here, would you agree tonight that we have a tendency to think that church and the work that the church does, take it or leave it? We look at people in the world today, presidents and prime ministers, professional coaches, professional athletes, doctors, ER doctors, A&E doctors, people saving physical lives, people making billions of pounds, people putting economies, governmental economies back on track. And we would say that's an important work. Would you not say, would you agree with me tonight? I agree that's an important work. Do you think that's a more important work, or let me say this, do you think that's a greater work tonight than coming to church on a Wednesday evening? I don't think it is. Sometimes we treat the house of God, well, I'll just catch it next week. I'll catch it online. I can remember Adrian Rogers and Dr. Ellis and them saying, they're called the curse of the tape. The curse of the tape. I'll just grab the tape. I'll miss church. I'll just grab the tape and catch up with it. You're not going to catch up with it. You're not going to get off an internet service what God wants you to have in his house. You're not. Now, don't think, preacher, you're just old-fashioned. It has nothing to do with being old-fashioned. You're not going to replace physical contact with people. Amen? You're not going to. Now, it'll get you by. Don't get me wrong. But you ain't going to replace it, and it's not equal. I'm saying this tonight. When we look at the duties and the jobs of pastors and missionaries and Christians and church members, do we look at those positions as, well, you know, that's good for you. Oh, but we look at the executive, man, that they're successful. They got it going on. They're making differences in the world. That A&E doc, he saved their life. They're making differences in the world. That prime minister, man, he did a great job, and he put the economy back in order. Man, they're doing a great job. And yet we look at this right here. Do you know what this, do you know what embodies the people that are in here right now? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, that has eternally saved you, and the choices that we make in our life has determined the eternal destination of souls. And if you don't believe that tonight, there's a problem, amen. If you don't have the assurance tonight that when you decide to come to the house of God when the doors are open, or you decide to open your Bible, or you decide to go pass tracts out, or pass John and Romans out, or witness to somebody on, if you think any of that work is smaller than what the most important person on the world today is doing in the world of economics, then you've got a problem, guys. You got a problem. There needs to be a realization that the work that we are doing in this world as a body of believers is a greater work that even Jesus Christ himself said it's a greater work that they will do, because I'm going to the Father, but I'm leaving you here to be the light of the world, amen. They're not going to know Jesus Christ unless those who know him tell them about them, amen. I'm just trying to make a point tonight. That you need to have the assurance in your life that your life means something in this world. You need to have the assurance in your heart tonight that everything that you do, everything that you say, every choice that you make has an eternal ramification in the lives of others. Good and bad, not indifferent, but good and bad. I talked to a good preacher friend of mine who called me yesterday asking me about a question in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, and we were talking about good works and bad works, and the Bible tells us, and I know I just preached it on Sunday, I'm not going to re-preach that about the judgment seats, but we are going to give an account when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ of what we did in this body and how we treated this body, this physical body, and what we did inside the body of Christ. Amen? Going to give an account. Whether it's good or bad. I know Jesus Christ paid for our sins. But the Bible clearly tells us that the fire is going to reveal, it's going to be manifest, it'll be manifest by the fire at that judgment seat of what sort it is. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us whether it be good or bad. How's it bad? Sins of omission, my friend. Opportunities and times when somebody came into your life that Jesus Christ put them there for that particular purpose, for you to witness the precious gospel of Jesus Christ to them, and you say, I don't have time. I'm not as important. They won't listen to me. I'm not good enough. I don't have an eloquent speech. Man's dead works. Amen? Guys, I cannot make it. I can't make you realize it more. There must be a realization in our heart that there's a great work to do on this earth, and it's for every single one of us tonight. You became a child of the King, guys, and you received power like you've never thought that you could have. Power that will show someone eternal life. Praise the Lord for everybody successful in the world. Praise the Lord for executives and teachers and doctors and lawyers. Praise God for all of them. Amen. But if somebody figures out the economy of this world and makes the world better economically and never gives them the taste of eternal life in heaven, they failed. Amen. As a matter of fact, and you know what they've done? They've committed eternal murder. For us as believers to withhold the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from a soul is to commit capital eternal murder. And we need to realize it. You need to have the assurance tonight that the work that you have to do in this world this evening, in this life, the work that you have personally is a greater work than anybody else. It's a greater work than anyone else. Just think about it, guys. We need to work while it is yet day, for night cometh when no man can work. One more point tonight, guys, and then I'll close it up. We'll finish it some other time. I want us to be assured of our resource this evening. Our resource. Look in verse 13 with me in John 14. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Let me say that to you again. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Beloved, the theme of John chapter 14 is the answer to our fear. We're living in a world today that people are preying on your fear. They're preying on it. The answer to our fear is a proper relationship with the Father, and that relationship is bound by the Son of God. As a matter of fact, the Father is mentioned 21 times in 15 verses in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is the answer to our fear. It is based upon our relationship with the Father. When we pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God takes our prayers and puts it before the throne because we're a royal priesthood tonight. You see, beloved, we have a resource that's greater than anyone. Prior to the death, burial, and resurrection and the falling of the Holy Spirit of God, prior to the to Pentecost, if you will, if someone wanted to speak to God, we talked about the ephod the other day in questions and answer a Bible study last week. If somebody wanted to go to God, they had to come to the high priest who had that ephod on with those 12 stones on there, and that high priest had to go into the holies of holies with those little bells on his britches. He had to go in there, and he had to make the petition known unto God himself. He had to go on behalf of the people. And that's why that temple, that's why that veil was ripped in twain. Because there is no more holies of holies. It's that Holy Spirit of God is inside every child of God tonight. The resource that you have tonight is a greater resource than anybody on this planet could ever even imagine having. We do not have our prayers answered today because we typically pray amiss. We pray sometimes on our own lust. We pray because we don't love when we pray. I mean, we don't have our prayers answered because we don't love one another. We don't have our prayers answered because we don't treat our wife right. All of these things happen. And we don't understand that we got a 24-hour access to the throne of God, and we forsake the proper use of it. I remember that old saying, keep short accounts with God. Amen. Don't wait until you get into a bind to get right with God. Do it now. Believers should repent, I believe, every day. Sinners should cry aloud to the Lord Jesus Christ and invite them into their life every single day. Not that he's left, the Holy Spirit is there, but if you're living in sin, repent before him, cry out to his name, plead your cause before the throne of God, and then pray on behalf of those that are around you. Because, my friend, we got a job to do in this world. We need to realize it. I think we need to realize time is short. We need to realize that their souls are at stake. But we need to use our resources, man. We need to use our resources. I mean, can you imagine one day standing before God Almighty and one by one souls come through and he says, that one was for you to win. That one was for you to witness to. That one was for you to water. That one was for you to warn. All of those. But you didn't do it. And then you may try to say, well, but I didn't know how. No, son, I gave you a resource. There it is. Well, but I didn't know what to say. No, I gave you a resource. You had access to heaven 24 hours. But I wasn't sure. I was nervous and I was weary. I was fearful. No, I gave you all power that's in heaven, amen, to win those people to Christ. I gave you all power that's in, all you have to do is access the throne of God. Pray for them, witness to them, warn them. That's all you had to do. I hope this is a wake-up call. I really do, guys. Not trying to rant, I'm honestly not angry. I'm happy right now, joyful. But I am telling you this, I believe there needs to be a wake-up call with us. I believe we need to understand that we need to commit to God. We need to commit to his book. We need to commit to prayer. We need to commit to his house. We need to commit to souls in this world today so that they may be saved, they may be born again, and they may be fed the Holy Scripture so they can go and do likewise. Guys, anything short of that tonight, we're missing the plot. We're missing the whole thing. I want to encourage you tonight, guys. I want you to have some assurance. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't wander about in this world today with uncertainty. There's no reason for you to have uncertainty. God's got your back, okay? The creator of all things is there for you. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. There needs to be some assurance there, amen? assurance that he's coming back, assurance, realize that there's a great and mighty work. The greatest work on this earth to do is to win a soul to Jesus Christ, to witness the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a soul. And we have no excuse not to do it because we got the perfect, pure resource. Access to heaven 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 366 this year, and we got the perfect book right there. Amen. Will you bow your heads tonight? Thank you so much, Father, for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Abraham. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Seren Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.